Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Shlach Lecha. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parsha Shlach, that year was the 28th day of the month of Sivan, which was also the Shabbos that blessed the month of Tammuz in the year Tavshin Memvav. So the Chassidic discourse again is based on the opening verse where it says Shlach Lecha Nashim, send people for yourself. The Rebbe said it's known from the different Chassidic discourses, from the different Chabad Rebbeim, starting from the Alter Rebbe in Lakut HaTorah, in the beginning of the Chassidic Torah portion, which is from Lakut HaTorah, and the same thing also with the Chassidic discourses afterwards, in reference to the whole parsha of the Meraglim, the spies, and the big question is, why did not the spies want to go into the land of Israel? And seemingly it's a tremendous wonder why, because what does Chassal tell us? It says, Shlach Lecha. What does it mean, send to you? So, ledaitach, which means according to your opinion. In other words, the sending of the spies was based on the das, the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. And all the people were very respectful people. And at that time, they were all kosher. And they were the leaders of the Jewish people. They were people had a good name in town. So how is it that they did not want to go into the land of Israel? Oh, deeper, the Rebbe says, we have to understand where it's a greater wonder, because the fact is, who chose the spies? Moshe Rabbeinu. Like we said, L'dai Toshal Moshe. Moshe chose them. So obviously Moshe knew them, each one individually, because we know Moshe Rabbeinu was the faithful shepherd, like it says in the Medrash, or Moshe Hoya Roya. Moshe was a shepherd. What does that mean? He was a true shepherd. You know, see, for example, when he took care of the sheep, he took out first the little ones, and they should have the softer grass. Then he took out the older ones; they should have the medium size. And then he took out the real older ones; they can have a harder grass. So some Hashem says, "Wow, someone that's so particular and pays such specific attention with the sheep, and gives everyone what they need, I wanted to take care of my flock, the Jewish people." So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, which realized the specifics and the abilities and the personalities of the Jewish people, and when he chose people, respectful, he knew he was choosing. So if that's the case, how could they make such a mistake and not want to go into the land of Israel? Also, there is, we have to understand, what was the complaint of the spy that they didn't want to go into the land of Israel? Because he said the people in the land are very, very strong. Not only are they so strong, they said, Ki chazaku imenu, it's a literal translation, they're stronger than us. But the Chazal tell us they even meant that, so to speak, God forbid, they're stronger than Hashem. And obviously, that's what it seems like from the literal translation. Because if that's not so, what's the point that they're stronger than us? And if you look at the response that Kalev Yeshua, what did they say? That the Toiva Aretz Moid Moid, the land is very, very good. And if Hashem wants, we're going to go up. But don't rebel against Hashem. So seemingly, the answer doesn't answer their question. Because he doesn't answer, they're saying that they're stronger. But, and he's saying what the land is good. And especially you're dealing with such respectful people. So what do we see from here? That there was room for their argument. So what is Kalev and Yeshua's response to them? Now, this is in reference to the spies. But the Rebbe said the same idea. We have to understand not only about the spies, but the general generation that went that was in the desert at that time. How is it possible that the whole generation that was living in the desert then, and we know they're called the Dor Deah, a generation of understanding, and this generation from the desert, they were at Matan Torah, they received the Torah from Hashem. And by them it was fulfilled literally, that their eyes saw and their ears heard. They saw godliness, they heard godliness, and this is right after they received the Torah. And not only they were elevated, but the whole world was elevated. It was right after Matan Torah. So how is it that such elevated people and the world that was elevated should make such a mistake about going into the land of Israel? The Rebbe says, even though you're going to say it's only a minority, But the fact is, no, the Torah is talking about the majority. And we go by majority. And the fact is, the majority is what sways the minority and causes tremendous success that the majority overwins. So obviously, you must say that it wasn't a minority mistake, because the minority would have swept up the majority. Obviously, it was a majority mistake. And this is obviously a greater wonder. How is it possible that most of the Jewish people made a mistake and they don't want to go into the land of Israel? Now, this, that the clouds of glory that existed in the generation of the desert, they went ahead and they wiped out the snakes and the scorpions and everything, you know, that was bothering the Jewish people physically and spiritually. So obviously, anything negative was wiped out by the clouds of glory. So again, back to the question, how did they make such a mistake? Deeper, the Rebbe says, we know what's brought down in Sforim, in the holy books, and also in the works of Chassidus. And the reason why it's forbidden to eat, for example, animals that are vultures. Why is that? Because the energetic energy of the vulture that exists in that animal, if you eat it, that becomes who you are. So if you eat an animal that's vulture, that's why certain people don't eat turkey, etc. But what happens? Because if you eat it, then you become a vulture. So what do we see from here? When they were in the desert, what kind of food did they eat? They didn't eat vulture food. They ate food from heaven, which is obviously the most refined food. That's the food they had. The drink, what they drink? They drank the well from Miriam's well. So obviously, you're dealing with people that are eating the most pure, organic, refined diet. And if they were eating, what were they eating and drinking? Spiritual food, spiritual drink. And that became part of their blood, and that became part of the flesh. So obviously, they were elevated people. So that's in terms of their food and their drink. In terms of the garments, we know what it's brought down in Chassidut, in reference to garments where they're not appropriate, like, for example, garments that are strictly forbidden, which is basically shatnez, which are wool and linen together, which basically that's a makif. It hovers over the person, which we know is obviously a much stronger klipa, which is deeper than something that you internalize. So, and then also reference to a house, which is obviously that garments is a makif a karav. It hovers over you, but it's more tailored to you. But then you have a house which hovers over, and rachik means because it takes over the person completely. There's no differentiation between your head and your feet. So therefore, let's look at the opposite side. When the garments, which basically is the makif a karav, the part that hovers over, which is closer, and the house, which is the makif a rachik, which hovers over, which is further. But that you have from a holy place. So obviously, it elevates a great elevation in the person that's wearing the garment and the person that's living in that house. So the people of the desert, so besides the fact that we learned they're eating and they're drinking was from heaven, food from heaven, and the water from the well of Miriam. But their garments were also elevated garments. Like it says in the Torah, Simlascha libalscha me'alecha, your garments grew on you. That means Hashem was causing it to grow. And the clouds of glory would go ahead and would wash their garments, and they would press their garments, and even little children, just like adults, their garments would grow with them, and so you see, obviously, what kind of garments they had. The garments are very, very holy, and the same thing also. The garments apply to the houses also, because where did they live? What were the houses? So it says in the Torah, "Kibasukay seshaftis b'Yisrael." Hashem provided them housing, which is the clouds of glory, and so the makif rachayik, which is very, very powerful. So if that's the case, the question now becomes even stronger. Why wouldn't the generation, not only of the spies, but the generation of the desert, why didn't they want to go into the land of Israel? Okay, so we have a big question. Rebbe says, the idea behind it is as follows, like explain the Chassidus. That's exactly the point. Because the generation of the desert, which in Hebrew is called the Dor HaMidbar, they were in the Sinai desert. And they were, yes, students of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yes, they ate food from heaven. And yes, they drank water from the well of Miriam. And they had the clouds of glory that protected them. And they had the holy garments. And they had the holy housing. So therefore, they didn't want to go into the land of Israel. Because they were on such a high level, and they didn't want to tear away from this high level. and to go into Eretz Canaan, a land with the Canaanites? Hello, they were on the highest spiritual level. They didn't want to go in. What does that mean? Never explained to this. This Meraglim was students of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we know Moshe Rabbeinu was in the level of Chachma, of Kedusha, holiness. The first personalized Svira, Chachma of Kedusha. And in a way that the Chachma comes down into the 49 gates of Bina. Something which you understand and comprehend on a holy level. Now since they were on the level of Chachma of Kedusha, they were on the level of holiness of Chachma. So there was comprehension to their rationale. And therefore their question was, how do we leave Mount Sinai? How do we leave the Sinai desert? That's where we receive the Torah from Hashem. And there we have food from heaven. And we're going to go where? To the land of Israel? And to eat bread, food from the ground? Why are we downgrading? Chachma, intellect, is asking a valid question. Why are we downgrading? And the fact is, when you come to the land of Israel, what does it say in the Torah? You need to come to the land of Israel. V'shafzar, Shabbos Hashem. The land is going to rest. But then, Sheish Shanim Tizras Necha. For 6 years, you're going to have to work the land. V'sheish Shanim Tizras, you're going to have to work the vineyard. In other words, right from the beginning, you have to have the resolution about observing the seventh year, which basically is self-sacrifice, because for 6 years, you're planting and you're eating. What happens in the seventh year? And like it's Chazal tells that those that observe the seventh year, those are the ones that are listening to Hashem. Because they're putting the whole trust in Hashem. So that, even that resolution is a test. And who needs a test? It's a one big downgrade, the whole story. Not only that, it says, this is also not enough. Because you also have to literally go down and physically work the ground every day. Sheish Shanim, the 6 years, you got to work the ground. Six years, you got to work the vineyard. Not in a way where someone, you're going to have servants, they're going to do it for you. But Tizra, you're going to have to go ahead and work. Vitizma, etc. The Jewish people are going to have to literally be working in the field. And that's a big test. Because the working in the field, transforming and elevating the sparks, of sparks that fell down in, we call in the Klipat Noga, and even a lower, and that's a big test. And like the Rashbi says, it's possible a person works and a person is going to plant. What's going to get Torah? Who's going to learn Torah? And that was their complaint. They are a generation of wisdom. Because based on Chachma of Kedusha and understanding and comprehension, I don't want to go into the land of Israel and have that test. And like we say in our prayers every day, Al Tivyeinu L'Yedei Son, don't bring us to a test. They didn't want to put themselves in a doubt. Even though no one's going to be totally alienated, but still a doubt. If maybe it's going to be this generation, a different generation, and therefore you can say what it says, when they came to the land of Israel, it says they saw the Nephilim, the giants. What's the giants? Those are the angels that fell down. And it's brought down in other places. Explanation: what does that mean? They fell down. So it means they fell from their level. So you see that when you come down to a low place, it's called falling. So, and they said, how much more so? Look at these angels. They didn't come down from a place that they received the Torah. But guess what? They fell down. How much more so? We're coming from a place that we receive the Torah. This is going to be a downgrade for us. And therefore their complaint was, how is it possible we're going to leave Mount Sinai and to get involved in this test? Now, Rebbe says, true, from the level of Chachma of Kedusha, yeah, this is a real valid concern. And don't bring me to a test. But the fact is, Rebbe says, Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know Moshe when he spoke, there's an expression, Shechina medaberes mitoich groinu. When he spoke, Hashem was talking through him. And he fought that they should go into the land of Israel, and specifically to transform the world and elevate the sparks, because from this level of Shechina medaberes mitoich groinu, that the Shechina is speaking through him, you do have to go into the land of Israel. And now we'll understand why Kalev and Yeshua, what did they answer them? Im chafetz banu Hashem. If Hashem wants. In other words, what's their answer? Because chafetz, what does chafetz mean? Chafetz is higher than Ratzin. Moshe Rabbeinu Chachma Gedusha. So he's talking them from Shechina with the Beres. Chafetz, and we know there's in Keter, there's Tainig and Ratzin. So Chafetz is higher than Ratzin. So how much more so? It's higher than Bina and Das. And from this level, Chafetz Banu, from the level of Chafetz, yeah, we have to go into the land of Israel. And that's why they said, don't rebel against Hashem. Because when the argument that you're making is rebelling in Hashem. Why? Because Chafetz Hashem, not from the level of Chachma, from the level higher level of Chafetz. And not only that, what does Chafetz mean? That Hashem wants that it shouldn't stay higher than on the comprehension, but after you focus on this is what Hashem wants, the wanting should penetrate and absorb into comprehension. And that's why he said, guess what? This is what Hashem wants, and we're not going blind. No, we're going to comprehend it, and we're going to see and feel that the land is very, very good. Because then you end up, not only it penetrates your intellect, but you see it, how land is good, and not only it's good, but it's very, very good. What does that mean, very, very good? Higher than it was in the beginning of creation of the world before there was any sin. When the world was created on a complete level. Because when the world was created, it says, Toiv Moid, it was good. Toiv Moid, it was very good. But however, when you come down into this world, into the lowest, yes, you have to work the land, then Toiv Aretz, not only Moid, but Moid, Moid, double good, twice good. And like I explained, the Chassidic discourse is that Ma'oid Ma'oid is much greater than Toiv Ma'oid. This Toiv Ma'oid, which is very good, but Ma'oid Ma'oid is even greater. And what's the reason? So the question is, why is that? The fact is, you have to deal with physicality, materialism, because we know the rule in Kabbalah, Kala Gavoya, Gavoya B'yoyser. Anything that's higher, when it comes down, it falls lower. And specifically, in the test and in the darkness, right within the darkness and the test, in there is buried from the highest places. And when a person does the work within the test, you reveal the highest level. Now, what does that mean practically? That the generation of the desert, they also were busy elevating sparks, which in Kabbalah is called pidyon shvuyin, redeeming what's held captive. And for sure that they were busy doing charity, literally, they were poor people. Because how do we know they were doing it? Because the code of Jewish law says that. That to every single person, you have to give charity. Then every person has to give charity at least once a year. So they were giving charity. And also they may also make blessings before they ate. Because the fact is they also had food. Besides food from them, they had food from the earth that they would buy from the nations of the world, like it's brought down in the Talmud. And on that bread they made the blessing on Moitzi Lechem and Aretz. And it's explained elsewhere that the blessings that you make on food that you enjoy is basically the blessing and the drawing down that causes for transforming the sparks, which basically is called Pidyon Shvuyin. You're taking out the captives, which are the sparks that's in there, which is a big mitzvah. And it's the ultimate level of charity. And not only that, even on the man, they would make a blessing. What was the blessing? It wasn't Moitzi Lechem and Aretz, it was Moitzi Lechem and Hashemayim, which is also elevating the sparks, based on, obviously, the level where it was before. And the same thing also, we know the famous, the tribe of Dan, that was the last tribe, they would collect everything people lost, which means they had the opportunity to do the mitzvah of returning things to their owner. Physical things people lost, and things that people lost spiritually, which is charity, and it's called, and it's loving your fellow Jew. But that's not enough. Even though in the desert you're doing a lot, it's not enough. The Chafetz Banu, Hashem wants, and He wants to bring us to the land of Israel, because the ultimate intent is that we need to transform on the lowest levels, not only in the desert, but also in the land Eretz Canaan, and specifically in the land of Canaan. That's where we'll be able to make something which is called Toiv Aretz, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, very, very good. So the same thing also, now we'll understand also in our spiritual service of Hashem. Because we know, just like the generation of the desert, we also have it now as well. And like the Altar brings in Tanya, in the section of Geras HaKodesh, he brings a letter from the Arizal, that he says there's two types of Jews. There's the souls of the Jews that are Torah scholars, which they're basically their business, their occupation is with learning Torah all their life. And then there are souls that do mitzvot, that are busy giving charity, giving chesedim, doing kindness, and which is the source is actually from the Torah, which is basically Yisachar and Zvulun. Because Yisachar was the one that learned Torah, and Zvulun was one out in the business. You know, it's the ones that learn Torah all their life. They're like the generation of the desert, which basically they just want, their goal is not to transform and elevate the physical world. And those that do, that give charity, and those that, you know, do chesed, are like the ones that went into the land of Israel trying to elevate the physical world. But the fact is, even though you have this division, the Alter explains in the Geresh HaKodesh, that even Torah scholars, that their main occupation is to learn Torah, they still need to do chesed. They still need to do charity, because everybody's obligated to do all 630 commandments, including the mitzvah of charity. And that's actually the Jewish law, that everyone has to give charity, even if someone's poor. You shouldn't give more than a certain amount every year. And if you didn't give that minimum amount, you didn't fulfill the obligation of giving charity. So if you ever see me, we have to say 1 second. Since we're dealing with a Jewish person, that he fulfills what it says in the code of the Jewish law, and every single day he prays 3 times a day, so I'm sure he's elevating sparks throughout the day. And when you're elevating sparks, yeah, you're randoming the souls that are taken captive. So why does a person have to specifically give money from his pocket to charity? But the answer is, the Rebbe says, ki chafetz Hashem, because Hashem wants that we should elevate the sparks that are specifically in physical, in the physical world. And specifically by elevating the sparks in the physical world, we're going to come to the place where we're going to have toiva aretz. The land is going to be not just ma'oid, but ma'oid, ma'oid, not just toiv ma'oid, a double ma'oid, double good. So what do we see from here? It says applies also to our generation. Our generation is called the generation, the ikvus of the Mashiach, which is literally on the heels of Mashiach. Why is that? Because we already have both ideas. Because on one hand, we're in the times of right before Mashiach is coming. And on the other hand, we went through the nations of the world. We went through with the snakes and the scorpions and the place where there was no water. Obviously, all the spiritual struggles that we had. So therefore, our generation is like they use the expression of a ud mut, like it says in the prophets, ud mut al ma'esh, like a branch that fell off from the fire. And like the Haftorah says in the expression of Torah Parsha Baloischa, and everyone says it should be the will that it should be fulfilled with us. What it continues on to say in the Haftorah, that we should put on the garments, that the wood that fell off the fire should be putting on beautiful, elevated garments. And like the Haftorah says, that I saw and the menorah of gold complete, and they have there's a crown on their head, and you have the 7 candelabras, which is referring to spiritually all the 7 types of the Jewish people. We're going to be totally complete. And when are we going to be complete? When we're going to have the redemption, the true redemption, the complete redemption through Mashiach. And like it says in the Haftorah, not through power, not through might, but with the Spirit of Hashem says, and it's going to happen, the coming of Mashiach, obviously, b'meheira b'yameinu, very, very quickly in our days, obviously on a literal level. So here you have a very powerful Chassidic discourse in the Rebbe about all the great ideas of learning Torah, giving charity, and all the spiritual things, but the ultimate, it's all about elevating the world. And as even someone's a Torah scholar, and even if you're busy doing great things and praying, you have to remember it's all about elevating the sparks. And we elevate the sparks, we'll have the coming of Mashiach, and God willing, our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.